Imagine that you're sitting in front of a bakery window, one that's filled with pastries. You see danishes, cookies, donuts, you can smell the fresh bread. What are the odds that you're gonna indulge in a treat? Well, if you're like me, they're pretty high. But now flip the scene and imagine that you're in a dark basement with dirty walls and rusted pipes, and in a corner, sitting in a puddle of old water, you spot a moldy piece of bread. What are the odds that you taste that? I'm guessing zero. Now, what this thought experiment shows is that when we're surrounded by lots of appealing options, we're likely to try one. But if our choices are slim and undesirable, we won't. That's true of baked goods, but it's also true of books. The more books that surround us, appealing books that we really want to read, the more zealous we'll become in our reading. So that's why, before getting into practical reading strategies, we need to start with two basic requirements, two things that we need to establish even before opening our first book. First, the desire to read, and second, immediate access to good books. Well, how do you achieve those two things? Well, it's simple, by growing a personal library. Now, I can already anticipate an objection. Why should I grow a personal library at home when my public library is already well stocked, and even better, it's free? Why do I need lots of books at home? Well, here are four main reasons why. First, you can't write in library books. Well, I suppose you could, but you'd be smote by the library god, so don't do it. But as we'll come to see, writing in books is one of the best ways to increase your reading output and especially to remember what you read. The more books that you write in, the more books that you're going to read. It's as simple as that. Second, with a personal library, you see appealing books every day. Good books are on your shelves beckoning to you each day, and they're strong motivators to get you reading. When I come home from work, for instance, the first thing I see is my wife and my kids, but then right behind them on the shelves are thousands of interesting books. And so it makes it easy to just sit down and grab one and start reading. We'll come back to this a little later, but for now, just remember that the more books you see, the more books you'll read. Third, with a personal library, you own the books. For better or worse, we pay more attention to things that we own. You know that's true, right? There's a psychological motivation in having physical possession of a book. Owning a book means you're committed to it. You're not just courting it, you're in a relationship. So the more books you own, the more books you'll read. Fourth, you have instant access to good books. You want to ensure that whenever you're ready to read, you don't have to search or wait for the chance to grab a good book. You don't have to, for instance, get in the car or go to the bookstore or go to the library. You can just sit down and start reading. Having a well-stocked library ensures that you'll never be hungry for good books. In other words, the more books you have available, the more books you'll read. So those are the four main reasons why having a good home library will boost your reading. It will grow your desire for reading, since good books will be constantly present and visible in your home, and it will give you immediate access to books that you can enjoy. But all of that raises a question. I know you're probably thinking this, okay, but how do I actually grow a decent home library? How do you find and acquire good books without breaking the bank? I hear you talk about hundreds of books or thousands of books. That sounds really expensive. Well, it's a two-step process. First, you need to identify good books worth acquiring, and then second, you need to find cheap ways to acquire them. Here are a few of my favorite methods for identifying good books. And by the way, keep a running list somewhere of all the books that you hope to acquire. I use a spreadsheet that I've built up over several years, and it contains several lists of top books and recommendations, all sorts of titles that I hope to add to my library. Other people like to use Amazon's wish list feature, but keep track of the books you want. The first place I look for book recommendations is online. As we all know, for better or worse, the internet tracks everything about our lives, our spending, our browsing, our emailing. but it can also track the books you buy online, and then it can use that data to suggest new books that you'll probably like based on books you've previously bought. So for example, when looking for appealing books, you might visit the Amazon book pages of titles that you've already read and enjoyed, and then scroll down and check out other books listed under customers who bought this item also bought. Even better, if you've bought a couple decent books from Amazon in the past, you can go to Amazon's Recommended for You page, which offers book suggestions based on your own purchase and browsing history. Other online sites like Goodreads and LibraryThing act as social networks for book lovers. You can input different titles or genres that you've liked in the past, and then these sites will provide surprisingly insightful recommendations based on feedback from millions of other readers. They just have so much data. What I like most about these services is that the recommendations are driven by this data and they're fueled by massive sample sizes. They each have millions of users, so the chances are high that if you like book A and thousands of people who like book A also like book B, you're probably gonna like book B too. So if you're looking for good books for your personal library, definitely start with the internet. A second approach is to ask what your friends are reading. Every couple months, I'll ask my friends on social media, "Hey, read any good books lately?" They'll usually respond with a ton of suggestions, and you should try it yourself. However, you want to keep in mind that your friends likely have very diverse tastes in books, and some of them, quite frankly, may not be reliable guides for you. For example, if a friend says, "Hey, read book A, it was the best book I've ever read." Well, consider that it might be the only book he's read in a long while. So that's why I like to follow up with questions like, "Why did you like that book?" or "How did it change your life?" In fact, a much better question to lead with is simply, "What book has recently changed your life and how did it impact you?" That's a great question to ask. A third approach is to ask the experts. Right now, picture in your mind five people that you really admire, whether they be mentors, heroes, leaders in your field. What books inspired them? What titles changed their lives? Seek out these answers. For example, if I was looking for a new book on prayer, I would identify the top five spiritual masters I know and see if I could determine their favorite books on prayer. Or I might even track down their email addresses and ask them directly, "What five books on prayer would you most recommend to me?" Most people will love the chance to reflect on and recommend their favorite books, so just ask. You'll be surprised. A fourth approach is what I call follow the rabbit hole. Now, this happens when you're reading a really absorbing book, typically nonfiction, and you see that the writer keeps citing a particular author or a particular book. Take note of that, and then after you finish the book you're reading, follow it up by reading the author or the book that he keeps citing. And then in that book, see if there's an author or a book that pops out in his bibliography, and so on and so forth. Now, this approach has taken me on many wonderful adventures deep into a particular field that I never otherwise would have explored. Okay, let's pause and recap. So far, we've learned why you want to have a good home library. You want to always have good books around you, calling out to be read. We've also learned how to identify good books that are worth adding to your home library by looking online, asking friends and experts, and following the rabbit holes. The last step is to actually acquire many of these good books, to build up your home library. But how do you do that without spending tons of money? Well, after building a home library with over 4,000 books, here are some of my favorite methods. First, start with local used bookstores. Go into Google Maps and search for used bookstores. Chances are there's a decent used bookstore within driving distance of your house, and if so, they're bound to have lots of good books for cheap. You can get great books for $2, $3, or $4 each, and many secondhand shops have websites now with their full inventory listed online, which means you can search through a store's collection before visiting it. So that's where you should start out. Visit your local used bookstore often, or maybe even a Goodwill or a thrift store where you can find books even cheaper. Second, buy used books through Amazon's marketplace. When you see a good book on Amazon, instead of instantly buying a new copy, click on the small used book link underneath the main purchase icon. That'll take you to a list of used copies from around the country, which you can often purchase for up to 90% off the retail price. In fact, I've often got books for as little as 1 penny per copy. I'm not kidding, 1 penny. Now, you still have to pay usually $3.99 shipping on used books through Amazon, but even then, you'll still usually come out ahead. Third, visit your local library. Libraries often have sales where they clear out their older inventory, and this could be a great opportunity to scoop up tons of books on the cheap. Other libraries have a permanent Friends of the Library store, well, where they sell donated books, including recent bestsellers, oftentimes for just a dollar or two apiece. I've added some amazing books to my home library from sales like this. Before visiting your local library, though, give them a call and ask if they have a store or if they're planning any book sales in the near future. Fourth, check out estate sales. It's a sobering fact that when people die, someone has to handle all their stuff. And many times, the family or executor will hold an estate sale to auction off their furniture, their clothes, or their collectibles. Other times, they'll just hold a garage sale where anyone can pick through the items and usually buy them for extremely cheap. On more than one occasion, I've stumbled across a garage sale featuring a massive home library that someone left behind. Now, obviously, this strategy is a bit more hit and miss than the others because you can't control when an estate sale occurs, but if you ever come across one, check it out because you could strike literary gold. Fifth and finally, look for downsizing friends. As many people near retirement age, especially if they're parents who become empty nesters, they naturally want to downsize their home and possessions, and that often means giving away or selling book collections. I've often been the benefactor of aging friends who have no interest in maintaining a large home library, but who are excited to pass on the books to someone who will actually read and use them. So consider any friends or relatives, coworkers or mentors who might be looking to divest their books and make yourself available. You don't have to be pushy or obnoxious, but you can subtly hint that you're trying to grow your own home library and you're always on the lookout for books. They'll get the clue and maybe even offer you some of their own books. So, there is a ton of tips and advice for you, and this is just lesson number one. Again, the first key to reading more books is to grow your desire for reading more books and to ensure that you have immediate access to them. A good home library will accomplish both of those goals. You need a home library if you want to be a great reader. I've never met a fashionista with an empty closet, and I've never met a glutton with an empty pantry, and I've never met a prolific reader who owns just a few books. So, grow your home library, packed with books you like, and set yourself up for lots of great reading. Your appetite will grow, and your library will be ready to satisfy it. And that's exactly what we're going to focus on in the next lesson, in fact, how to ensure that you're always in position to read. I'll see you there.